House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Good day to you, and thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Capital Ideas. You found the one and only podcast where members of the Majority Democratic Caucus in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. Last year, 10 brand new Democratic members of the House were sworn in, and during the course of the 2026 session, we managed to introduce each of them via Capital Ideas. This year, we have new member number 11. Sadly, our friend and former House member, 5th District Senator Bill Ramos, died suddenly in the waning days of the 2025 session, and Representative Victoria Hunt moved over to take his seat across the rotunda. And that, listeners, is how we acquired the services of Zach Hall, who was appointed to become Representative Zach Hall last June. You're about to meet him, and I suspect you'll be glad you did. We recorded this on Thursday, February 5th, 2026, and it starts now. Welcome to Capital Ideas, State Representative Zach Hall from District Number 5. This is our first chance to sit down here and do this for Capital Ideas, and I'm really glad that you're here.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks so much for having me.
You were sworn in June, I believe, to replace a state lawmaker who moved to the Senate. What kind of a surprise was that for you to suddenly be jerked out of the life you were leading and have this title of state representative?
Great question. It was certainly, very different. Of course, the circumstances were terrible for our community. We lost an important friend and mentor to so many of us in Senator Bill Ramos, who, of course, I first met back in the day when we were coming here to the House. Being able to work with him here was a great experience. But for so long, we had such capable leaders in this district, and I was happy serving them in the ways that I did and serving my community on the city council. So this certainly was not something that was on my mind. When the opportunity was there, I felt called to come back to Olympia and advocate for issues that I felt strongly about serving my community in Issaquah, but also the broader 5th East King County area, including Maple Valley and Black Diamond and Enumclaw and all the way out to the pass. The issues that I hear out there are the issues that are important here, and I wanted to continue to elevate those. How are we creating safe, affordable, green communities full of opportunity for everyone? And it's great to be back here, and I feel a sense of purpose and responsibility given Senator Ramos's legacy, of course, but also joy to be able to work with Representative Lisa Callan, my seatmate, and of course, Senator Hunt.
Since you mentioned some of the challenges and opportunities facing the district, I want to get into transportation right away because that is such a major part of the 5th District. Is you've got not only an interstate going through the district, but you've also got a problematic piece of asphalt, which is not very easy to say, by the way. And we're talking about State Highway 18, which has been a thorn in everyone's side, really, who's had to use that road for years and years. And I think that that's finally coming to an end.
That's the hope, and that's certainly one of the battles that we have this year. In the governor's proposed transportation budget, we see no new changes to the phasing of this first phase of expanding State Route 18 to address, of course, safety concerns, traffic concerns, as you heard, but also just to improve freight and mobility and transit across that area. It's so important. The number one thing that we hear about from people in our district is Highway 18. When's it going to happen? We're working really hard to make it happen as soon as possible. It is very expensive. So we're also trying to think of creative ideas to deliver public safety crash prevention solutions now. Quicker, right? And so how do we deploy these things quicker so the road is safe in the meantime while we continue to plan and phase major improvements along that road?
I suspect that major renovations on that road are just made more difficult by the fact that it goes over a mountain.
That's right. It goes over a mountain. It goes over gorges. There are several bridges across that stretch of road, fist passages. There's a lot of different environmental factors that go into State Route 18. That have to be considered, and that's why the project has gotten so expensive.
Well, you just said the word environmental, so let me jump over to the fact that you are the vice chair of the House Environment and Energy Committee.
That's right.
Which is kind of a plum, I would think, for somebody who is brand new here, for them to put that responsibility on your head.
I have really been enjoying the role as vice chair on an Environment and Energy Committee. Number one, it's a fascinating committee. Environmental stewardship and conservation is very important to those of us in East King County. Those of us who have had access to the great outdoors with respect for salmon and our wildlife and how we interact with nature in East King County, it really defines how we think about these things. And of course, climate action, of course, ties into that. And so, it's been really great helping to kind of define the legislature's priorities in both building out our energy grid, making things more efficient, meeting our climate goals, but also ensuring that we're taking good care of our environment, that we're cleaning up toxics, that we're responding to environmental needs in our communities. I've really enjoyed it.
I assume that everyone else on that committee is your elder and obviously has been here longer than you. How does that feel to be sitting up there and anytime your chair is not actively involved in running the meeting, that comes to you? How's that been?
You know, I had the same experience coming in as a city council member in the city of Issaquah. I first started when I was 25 years old in public service, serving the city of Issaquah. Honestly, it's something you get used to right away. I mean, the people around you, and I've been very lucky and grateful, the people around me have welcomed me into conversations, and I think part of that, too, is just how you show up in these spaces, and people really respect people that come in and say, I don't know, and let's ask questions and get to the heart of the public policy problem here, and what are the options, how do we evaluate those options and move forward. So a respect for process, a respect for asking questions and learning from each other, and just showing up and knowing that we're all here on equal footing in terms of representing our district, right, and representing our constituents also helps with that. But everyone's been great, both sides of the aisle.
You've got a master's in public administration, and that seems to be something that more than a few people around here have taken that route in their education. What do you learn as a master of public administration?
Yeah, that's a great question. I spent 2 years getting my MPA between 22 and 24. One of the best experiences that I had in my educational life. It was really great at the Evans School in the University of Washington. When you get a master's in public administration, you learn a lot of different things, right? Basics and statistics and economics analysis, public policy analysis and program evaluation, more specific courses in public finance management and things like that. Things that really apply to the settings, either at the local government setting or here at the state government setting. I have found that those foundational and advanced courses that I took there have really allowed me to ask the right questions that I need. I'm able to get answers that I think are helpful for defining public policy problems here at the state and moving forward with potential solutions that I see my colleagues bringing forward as well, especially in areas that perhaps I don't have subject matter expertise in. So the biggest thing that comes from having an MPA, and I've noticed this with other members here who have an MPA from the Evans School or from elsewhere, is a respect for process and public policy making. You define a public problem, right? What problem are we trying to solve? What are the full range of solutions that are available to us? And then how are we evaluating those solutions, right? Cost, equity, other factors that we consider, and then evaluate all the solutions. Which one's best? And then critically important too, after you've made a decision, how are you going to measure success? How are we going to know if it had its, number one, its intended outcome, and number two, is being successful in communities and getting, in terms of whatever public policy outcome that you're wanting, did it affect that change? Did it have the impact you had hoped for? And can you measure that? Can you draw a line from public policy to specific outcome? And that rigor is fascinating to me. I love the process of public policy making because it is also clear and consistent, which means community can be a part of it. Community knows how decisions are made. And when you do that, you create broader trust in institutions like here in the state legislature. So I'm really happy that there are so many people who feel that way here in Olympia, and I will be telling a lot of people when I go home after the session about how many people think that way here in Olympia.
You've got another committee besides Transportation and the Environment and Energy Committee, and that is local government, which seems to make perfect sense given the fact that you got your start, at least in elected office, serving in a local government on the Issaquah City Council. I assume that you're finding your experience as a council member to be invaluable on that committee.
Absolutely. Yeah, I served 6 years in local government on the city council in Issaquah, participated in regional, statewide, national conferences with other city leaders, including the National League of Cities, different local government projects around some of the biggest problems that local governments face. So I feel most confident talking about these issues that intersect with local government. And so I was thrilled to be appointed to that committee and feel like I've been contributing a lot to those conversations. It's fascinating too, you know, for us local government nerds that like to talk about the Growth Management Act and transportation planning manuals and different strategic plans around different policy issues that we have for the community. Well, and also just how do we bring community closer to government? That is the heart of local government and local government decision making. So to be able to bring that expertise to help the rest of the committee here in Olympia has been outstanding. And that committee is made up of many Democratic and Republican former local elected leaders. And so we all have this great experience that we're able to bring forward.
You've been a legislator now since June. That hasn't given you enough time to come up with a huge basket of bills here to introduce and work. But I want to ask you, how are your, what you would consider to be your priority bills working out? And what have you got up your sleeve?
You know, coming into this, there were a handful of bills that were most important to me. I have now dropped 9 bills here in the state legislature. I'd say about 5 of which survived the policy cutoff and are moving forward. So I'm thrilled with that. Number one, I think that's a great ratio there. And I feel very lucky.
It is.
Yeah. The first bill I want to mention, too, was brought to me by, well, I think I did a lot of salmon recovery work when I was working in local government. I come from Issaquah. Salmon is integral to East King County. You know, grew up going to salmon days all the time. And of course, I go fishing myself. And so Trout Unlimited came to me over the summer, soon after I was appointed to this position, and started talking to me about 6 PPD, which is a component part of tires on our vehicles all across the state. 6 PPD comes off tires as we use them and becomes 6 PPDQ when it interacts with the atmosphere, which is hugely detrimental to the survival rates of coho salmon in particular, but salmon species and fish species alike. This bill that I worked on with them and a number of different environmental stakeholders is moving its way through the process, and I'm really excited about it. It would phase out the use of 6 PPD in tires by 2035, and also give the Department of Ecology the authority to ban what we're calling regrettable substitutes. So similar chemicals that might be used in tires, but are just as harmful to the salmon, just as harmful to the environment. This has always been a challenge in the space. We've known 6PPD is harmful for quite a while now. It's been a challenge because 6PPD is a very important part of tires in terms of keeping elongating their life, making sure that it's not treading in ways that it's not supposed to. And so there is a direct result in terms of tire elongation, life elongation, and 6PPD in the tires. Now, a number of different U.S. chemical companies have, and international chemical companies have announced potential alternatives, which is kind of the spur of this bill. And so this bill would push the market to innovate, right? Find new chemicals and deploy them in their tires and retail them to customers and protect our salmon for future generations. It's really important. I'm really glad to be spearheading this bill, and I've found that my colleagues are very supportive of the idea.
So this chemical essentially forms a dust that washes off highways into the water table, into the streams.
That's right. It's called urban runoff mortality syndrome, and it's highly lethal to coho salmon in particular. I want to paint a picture for you real quick.
Do.
This is how it was described to me, and I thought it found it fascinating. 1 grain of rice in an Olympic-sized swimming pool is enough, 6 PPD, to kill coho salmon, to be completely lethal. 1 grain of rice in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. I couldn't even find that if I was swimming in that pool all day and all night. I couldn't find it. So, I mean, that really puts it in perspective to me, especially when you think of the number of cars that drive in urban cities right next to creeks. It's a highly important issue to our district. Of course, Issaquah, we have the only salmon hatchery in city limits in the state. And so that makes it very important to Issaquah. But of course, salmon and different watersheds interact with all the communities across the Fifth, including Maple Valley, including Enumclaw and Black Diamond in the Cedar River watershed. So this is an issue that's important across my district, but also across the state.
What kind of dog is Valentine?
Oh, Valentine is 2 years old, and she is a mix between American Pit Bull, Australian Shepherd, and Australian Cattle Dog. And she is a cattle dog through and through. She likes to bite our ankles to get us to go places and hurt us. She thinks we're cows or something like that.
That's a handful.
Yes, it is.
Zach, We've been here for a while, and it's a busy morning, about 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks into the legislative session. Things are getting crazy, and I know your schedule reflects that. So I'm going to let you go here, but before I do, I would like to give you the opportunity to kind of figure out how we're going to leave this podcast.
Yeah, well, I just want to, you know, remind your listeners that there are so many ways to engage with us. This is my first session, and so I'm taking what constituents, people who live across Washington, say very seriously. They're emailing my office every day. We're getting calls every day from people. I'm able to return some of those calls, which is really, really helpful to have those conversations directly with constituents. Of course, we're incredibly busy from early morning to late nights, but I think it's important to talk one-on-one with constituents and to hear exactly how they're feeling about the issues that we're talking about here in Olympia. And I also just want to, you know, anyone who's listening in from District 5 or across the state, if you're emailing my office, I'm reading your email. And it is having an impact on how I'm showing up, how I'm asking questions in committee, how I'm contributing in caucus, how I'm going to vote on the floor. So I really appreciate everyone who reaches out to my office, and I hope that people will continue to do so because I take it very, very seriously.
I'm really glad we got a chance to talk. This is probably our longest conversation, and I got a lot out of it. I hope the listeners did as well. I look forward to doing more Capital Ideas conversations with you in the future. For now, thank you, Representative Zach Hall. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
That was Representative Zach Hall, and this has been the fifth episode of the 18th season of Capital Ideas. If you're not a subscriber, it's free and easy, and it's important. This is your state government, and what happens here matters now more than ever before. Join us next time to hear from Deputy House Speaker Pro Tem Joe Timmons in his first Capital Ideas conversation. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, the year journalist Nellie Bly began her record-setting trip around the world. Thanks for your time.